Wow. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, we want to be just thankful today. How many of y'all are thankful today in prayer? Thankful today that God never leaves us. And Lord, I pray that we hear your words and we embrace them like we've never embraced them before, and we would live them out. And we most of all pray for folk here today, Lord, that just are wondering if Jesus would come into their lives, that it would be so clear today for them to begin to see and realize how much you love them. So I pray that these realities happen in this teaching experience together. Amen. Amen. Everybody have a good week. Some people have a bad week. Yeah. It's been a tough week here in Bowling Green. I want us to continue to pray for our police officers and our civil servants in our community. We lost an officer this week. Many of you all are aware of that. And Sergeant, we want to continue to remember the police force and all of you all involved in that. And I want you all to know this is very serious for our servicemen and women and people serving. We pray here every day. We pray here every day. And it was just interesting that the sermon that's coming up on deck today is what does it mean to be merciful? What does it mean to be merciful? We got tough things that happen in life. Is that true? How many of y'all have lived with nothing tough ever happening to you? I just don't think that's a reality. And so we're going to kind of plunge straight ahead, which is no surprise to any of you all, into what God wants us to be. And an attitude He wants us to hold is this: you and I are called to be merciful people. Wow. And that's going to take the Holy Spirit. How many of you all find it easier to criticize than to encourage? What do you think? How many of y'all, when somebody else messes up, you are quick to put the old judgment stick out on them? I can't believe they did that. They should have never done that. Da-da-da-da-da. I want us to come to this first realization. Every human being can mess up. How many of y'all found that to be true? Some of y'all have lived a little longer than I have. How many of y'all found it to be true? Every human being can mess up. I want to see if you would join me in this confession. I have messed up. So let's see if we can say it together. I have messed up. Come on, this will be good for some of you. Loosen your soul. Okay, now watch. You come to this conclusion, you're going to start living better. Does that not sound upside down? I have messed up. I have not been what God wanted me to be. I have not done all the things that God wanted me to do. I am not perfect. Hillview, I want to commend you. You are a church of grace. And the reason I know you're a church of grace is because religious people criticize us all the time. May they continue to do so. I want to tell you something. As long as we got the super holy against us, we're in great shape. Because that's exactly who opposed Jesus. And here's what they opposed Jesus for. He brought hope to people that were supposed to stay down. Here's why I preach Jesus. Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, you know, you never hear that come out of a real super rich guy's mouth. But you heard that come out of the wealthiest guy of all, Jesus. And he said, blessed are the poor. And he's not talking financially. He's talking spiritually. So all of us are included with an opportunity to heaven, yeah? We talked about, the last time we talked about these attitudes, the desire to seek, to hunger, to desire righteousness in God's way. And after he convinces us, you need to desire my way, he gives us a tough bullet. You ready? Blessed. These people are blessed. How many of y'all want to be blessed? Come on, how many of y'all want to be blessed? I want to live in a blessing. I want to live in a blessing. I want to live in a flow. I don't want to almost get there. I want to be in there. All right, watch this. Blessed are the merciful. How many of y'all are merciful? And come on, how many of y'all are really merciful? You realize that God is the hope of the world, and I'm going to be merciful to that. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown what? Here's what the Bible says. It says, you will be judged in the measure that you judge. How many of y'all going to pass? Now this is tough in Kentucky because we judge people. Would you agree with me? Now I want to give you some setups here that I think we ought to have. First of all, I really want to plead with you on this. The Church of Jesus Christ ought to be a place of hope where people get better. What do you think? Let me give you all my attitude. I'm big on attitudes. I believe attitudes create actions. God's saying you need to have an attitude of mercy because I am mercy. And so if you're going to follow me, then you ought to have my desires. And here's one of the things we get confused about God. God does not desire to punish us. How many of y'all believe that?
And here's why. I mean, I really believe that. Let's break that down and even make it logical. If God wanted to punish us, what do you think God would do? I agree with you totally, Robert. If God wanted to punish humanity, He would have left us alone. Here's what I found about us human beings. We punish each other pretty good. Naturally. How many of y'all found that to be true? I found that we step to judgment and unforgiveness before we expect renewing and forgiving of people's wrongs. What have y'all found? If you haven't found that, just be a minister for a week. How many of y'all are in leadership? I mean, leadership's a rough road. I mean, if you're a CEO of a company or you're in politics or you're managing or you got people around you, how many of y'all understand this? You will be criticized constantly. I work now with a lot of young pastors. I don't know why that is. Because as a young pastor, I don't know why they but they call and they ask me, and the number one question I get from young pastors is, they'll ask me, they'll say, Pastor Ayers, how do you handle all the criticism? You know what my response is? What is God saying about your ministry? What is God saying about your ministry? Because who you want to hear from and who you want to please is who? God. I would never go buy an opinion poll at Hillview. I would have a bubble gum machine in my office full of Prozac to just cope with the day. Because guess what? I hear you all do this, those of you that manage people. I hear about 6,000 different opinions from everybody that attends church here. Well, which one of those is right? Depends on the day and the circumstance, correct? One day you're great, one day you're bad. And I remember when Blake was, Ty, you listen to this because you're going to be one of the quarterbacks get it. How many quarterbacks get criticized all the time, right? Y'all know that in football? I mean, Titans are picking on Vince Young. They never look that nobody blocks for him. They never look that nobody catches the ball for him. But in the stands, who do they always get on? Oh, you got to get on somebody. I mean, when Blake was playing his sophomore year, he was kind of a little dude. And man, I mean, he was taking it. He got in a truck one day and he said, Dad, I'm getting a glimpse of what you've lived with all your life. He said, how do you handle this? I said, don't listen. I said, don't ever listen to the stands. I said, first of all, I looked up there and saw a few people that were yelling at you. They were total nerds in high school. I knew them. They've never been on a football field. They've never been tackled. They've never thrown a block. They have no reality to your experience. And if they say too much more, they're going to meet a guy that did play. See the difference, huh? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Huh? We are easy to criticize what we've never done. I mean, I find myself doing that even when I coach. I'm going, man, that guy should have made the tackle. Well, probably if I went back and looked at my films, I didn't make that tackle either. But I don't tell them that. You know, after you quit, I told them I made every tackle that came my way. I did in my mind. So we're quick to criticize. Now, as I got ready to prepare this sermon, this attitude that we ought to have, mercy is this. You got to have a definition of mercy. Mercy is not grace. Grace is this. You get what you don't deserve. That's grace. You get what you don't deserve. And God is a graceful God. He's a graceful God. He gives us more than we deserve. Would you agree? When He gives us heaven, do we deserve heaven? Mercy's a little more intense. And I don't think we've dealt with mercy much. Mercy is this. I'm guilty. And God has forgiven me. Is that a little more intense? I'm guilty. I messed up. I didn't do the right thing. I didn't do what I was supposed to do. I've blown it. I've sinned against God. I'm guilty. And I ask God for His mercy. What will God do? He'll be merciful. But what do we need to do? Get honest. I'm guilty. How many of y'all are guilty? I mean, everybody wants to hang the Ten Commandments on the courthouse, you know, in the courthouse and in the school hallway, and they put them in their front yard to help the grass grow, all these things we do with the Ten Commandments. How many of y'all have ever kept them? There's a novel idea. We actually live them out. I wonder if that would change society. I know down in Alabama we made a, you know, 5-ton Ten Commandment statue. That's just 5 tons of reality that we can't keep these without Jesus. We're going to break God's law. How many of y'all found, I'm guilty? Just say it. See if you can even say it. I'm guilty. Oh, boy, that doesn't taste good in America, does it? I mean, I'm supposed to have it what? Together. How many of you all, sometimes when you have it together, you don't have it together? How many of y'all have ever faked it? Come on, I'm talking to a lot of baby boomers in here. Come on, I'm talking to guys in here my age. When we were coming up through business school, what was the slogan? Come on. Fake it till you. Okay, how many of y'all in business? Fake it till you make it, baby. Fake it till you make it. I mean, you would have, you know, you would talk about your company like this. Well, in our organization, I'm the president. There's only two of us. Make it sound bigger than it was. Is, here's what mercy is. God says, call it what it is, and then let me remake it into what it can be. Is that not God's mercy in our lives? He says, you're a sinner. Now, we got to deal with this. Now, that shouldn't send you into a depression. That should send you into the reality. All human beings have sinned. Amen? Now, let me show you 3 things I want you to get today. Sin is forgivable through Jesus Christ. That's the mercy of God. If you've been forgiven, you ought to share forgiveness. Y'all got that? Sin's forgivable. How many? I mean, does anybody that excite you just a little bit? I don't know about y'all. I was a sinner. I raised hell before Jesus Christ. Is that clear enough? I want to get it that blunt to you, because you know why? Some of y'all are still overchurched. I work with 2 ministries, the overchurched and the underchurched. And I want us to come to know who. Jesus, so we might understand the mercy of God. These are Jesus' attitudes. Blessed are the merciful. Sin can be forgiven. Get that. Now, second principle I want you to get today. You ready for this? Jesus loves me and wants to restore me. We got to get this view of Jesus. God's not out to get us. If God was out to get us, I believe just like Robert said, God would leave us alone. Watch this. If God left mine and Elizabeth's marriage alone, guess what we would call that? A divorce. Well, y'all said that quick. Huh? What about the rest of you? Well, I can honestly say that if I didn't have God in my marriage, I would be divorced. Some of y'all may go, gee, that's why I got a divorce. There you go. I don't know how you can stay married without God. Because here's the thing, if I don't have God, I'm going to demand my own way. I do that enough with God. I can't imagine what I'd be like without God. All right? But God wants to love us and what else? Restore us. So here's what we have to realize. I've sinned. I've done some things I'm not supposed to. How many of y'all are that clear? You got that down. I've sinned. And I'm going to come back over that. And here's why. If you really want to live in the mercy of God, we in America got to get over something that's very tough for us to get over. We're arrogant. I know that doesn't taste good when I say it, but what do y'all want me to do? Deal with the facts, things that will really make us better, or just tell you something you want to hear, and then we'll just go home and everything be okay. Let's get down to business. I don't know about y'all. I'm arrogant. Y'all arrogant? Mm-hmm. I've had some marriage problems. You know why I had some marriage problems? Because Elizabeth wouldn't listen to me. Any of y'all been there? Yeah. I mean, a woman wouldn't listen to me. If she did it like I told her to do it, life would be better. You know what's even worse is when she does what I tell her to do, and I don't like that either. Y'all ever had that problem? How many of y'all have ever gotten what you want? Me too. And then I didn't like what I got. You see, we got to surrender to God. Now listen, I'm going to tell you something. To release mercy, you got to get over arrogance. And sure as the world, as I was preparing this sermon all week, thinking about what it meant to be blessed or the merciful, and how mercy really reshapes the world. Guess what? Friday morning, I turn on my TV. I like to check in with the news. And we have a major pastor in America in a tremendous, traumatic situation. Now, church, I'm going to ask you to do something. I don't know if the brother did that or not. I don't know. I don't hang out with the brother. I ain't been around the brother. I ain't been where he's been. I'm not to be casting judgment on the brother. But guess what I want to cast on that brother? Even if he did, somewhere down the line, we got to start restoring human beings instead of shooting everybody that messes up. We shoot people too quick in the church. Now, watch this. So let me be very clear. What he's accused of, if he did that, it is wrong, it is bad, it is not right. Let me say it in Kentucky language, it ain't right. You got it? Now, but watch. I've done some things that aren't right. What about you? And our job is to not judge, but to what? Restore. Now, this is where nobody gets me here in Bowling Green. I get criticized all the time. They go, well, Ayers, we just disagree with them kind of people you let in your church. I go, what do we have, Martians? I mean, what's up with this? And I say, what are you talking about? And they'll go, this is how arrogant and blind people are. There are people in churches in our city that believe they have people in their churches that don't sin. Now, I know that's not true. I've sinned with those people.
Amen.
I mean, I've been on the scene. I went to school with them. I went to the lake with them when we were supposed to be in school. It is not pretending that you're not a sinner. It is living as a forgiven person that God calls us to. And so watch this. I don't know what Pastor Haggard did. I know this, and I want you all to come to this reality. How many of us pray for leaders that they don't get messed up? And I want to tell you, don't ever think you won't mess up. I have to hang out with preachers some, and preachers are just an interesting breed. And I even hang out with real normal-looking preachers. You know, they got that Gillette dry look hair. It's all perfect. They wear their suit and tie. They're really nice. They speak holy things. They don't ever say any words that are offensive. You know, blessings, brother. I love you. God bless you. Dr. Jones, you're wonderful. See, I can do it. I was trained. The only reason I don't do it, it doesn't work. I'd rather be effective than trained. But let me tell you what, I've had brothers tell me, man, they looked at me and they said, I will never do what that brother did. And I go, oh no. Because here's what you just did. You told Satan to take on your flesh. And he'll whip you. I don't care how bad you are. I don't care how holy you think you are. If you fight Satan on your terms, he'll win. Now, if you fight Satan on Jesus' terms, he can never win. This is a different statement. I'm a sinner. I'm vulnerable. I could be caught in the same situation given the right set of circumstances. I could fall to that because I'm a human being. But by the grace of God, I'm going to listen to Jesus. I'm going to stay in Jesus. And I am thoroughly and confirmly convinced if I stay resting in Jesus, then I can resist the devil and he'll flee. That's the facts. Truth will set you free. Here's the truth. The devil will whip me, but the devil can't whip the Jesus in me. He can't do it. Just try to fight with your wife and start talking about Jesus. It won't work. Be merciful. Now, let me tell you some things we've got to get over. First of all, arrogance. There's two things that block us from being merciful. Arrogance and unforgiveness. Now, and I want to talk to you because a lot of y'all are married and we do families. Man, listen, don't mess your family up over arrogance and unforgiveness. It crushes marriages and it destroys the lives of our children. Those two things, if we got rid of them, what would the world look like? Don't demand your own way. Know that there are other human beings that are important, okay? And you got to look at the way Jesus looks at us. Everybody's got potential in Jesus' eyes. Isn't that great? So let me tell you something. This is very important. Don't write anybody off. How many of y'all have written people off before? Yeah. Because they wouldn't what? Cooperate with what? My system. Y'all may not believe this, but they wrote me off in school. That was a write-off. Second grade teacher, you know what she told me? She said, I'd never amount to nothing. Because I didn't want to read my big old book. And I didn't spell well. I remember this. What's spelling? I mean, I'm a prophet. I knew spell check was on its way.
I never will forget. I looked at that lady. She said, you will never do anything if you don't learn how to write. And I said, honey, I'll get somebody to write for me. And I have. There's always a way around it if you think. But you know what? She wrote me off because I wouldn't do what? Her way. And God's looking at her the whole time. The boy can't stay still long enough, honey, to learn anything yet. One day I'm going to make his knees hurt real bad and he's going to sit down and learn to read. And that happened. Give God time to work on other human beings. Amen. Guys, listen, those of you all that are in marriages, forgive one another. Life's too short not to. Learn to do that. Honey, I forgive you. I made a wrong decision. Now, I'm going to give you a couple words we need to learn how to say. I was wrong. If you want to be merciful, guess what you got to learn how to say? I was wrong. How many of y'all can say, I was wrong? How many of y'all have just been wrong? Guess what? I've made some wrong decisions pastoring this church for 16 years. I've made some decisions that were wrong. When they were wrong, what did I tell y'all? They were wrong. I didn't stand up here and say, oh, God, just... No, I made a wrong decision. I have no shame in making a wrong decision because I live with a lot of other human beings and they make wrong decisions too. There's some freedom in that. Now, who always makes the right decision? Jesus. Here's another thing I think we need to learn how to say. Oh, by the way, these will get you off those antidepressants. I mean, unless there's a true chemical situation. True chemical situation, you need those. But a lot of this stuff's induced by our emotional makeup. This is a great word of freedom. I'm sorry. How many of y'all have ever said, I'm sorry? This works wonders in marriage. This works wonders with our kids. How many of y'all have ever told your kids you were sorry? Good. Let me help you even in parenting. I'm not going to say much about parenting because I don't have mine out the door yet. But I'm a lot closer than I used to be. Look at here. Watch this. I've had to say this before. You know, it's rough on me. I have two intelligent children. So I'm at a loss from the get-go as a father, okay? But guess what? I've had to tell them before. I've had to look at Blake and say, Blake, I am sorry. I did not make the right decision in this situation. I'm sorry. And that messed with you, and I'm sorry. Well, guess what he can tell his dad now? I'm sorry. Because there were two important phrases I think my children needed to learn. I was wrong, and I'm sorry. I didn't do a good job because I made some bad decisions. It had nothing to do with my parents. It had nothing to do with my environment. It had nothing to do with all this other stuff we try to blame life on. It's, I made a bad decision, and I'm sorry. What would that do to the world? Give mercy. How many of y'all have ever been pulled over for speeding? What do you tell people? Officer, I bet you have heard 1,000 excuses for speeding, haven't you? Here's my first question. They pulled me over and said, you know how fast you were going? I said, no, sir, but with all due respect, you have one of those high-tech radars. Tell me. They go, you were going 81 miles an hour. I said, that is most likely. And they'll start grinning. They said, we've never had anybody agree. I said, I speed. I said, we all got our problems. This is mine. I said, by the way, you don't believe in mercy, do you? He said, I'm a man of the law. I go, ah. I did get mercy one time. I got pulled over on the Bluegrass Parkway. And he looked at me and he said, you know how fast you're going? I said, it's probably pretty fast. He said, you admit it? I said, yes, sir. About that time, another call came in and he said, you better thank God. This is an emergency. God helped me on that when he knew I was broke that week. But what do you need to say? I'm sorry. Here's what I figure. You know, a law officer's not going to sit there on the side of the road and just pull me over because he doesn't have anything else to do. And the reason he pulled me over is not because I was kind of breaking the law. I was really breaking the law. Because when I do something, I don't do something 5 miles over. I make sure if I'm going to break the law, I'm going to get the full benefit of it. Have y'all noticed that? But watch this. Now, hold on. Here's where I'm stupid. Here's where not being sorry and staying in bounds. Watch this. If I'm going fast and I hit somebody and disintegrate that car, could that be harmful to my health? So God, I'm sorry that I think I'm a NASCAR driver. God has to bring me to reality. Mercy brings me to what?
God's reality. I want to show you this. Go to John chapter 8, and we're going to finish up today. Y'all getting this today? Listen, I'm going to ask you on this Pastor Haggard thing. Let's wait till we get all the information, but let's pray that this not be a headache for the church. Is that cool? I know CNN's run it 100,000 times. There's some real complicated issues in there. I'm sorry that religious people sin and fall. I'll tell you about another politician that fell. Have y'all ever heard of King David? King David? King David had an eye for women. Y'all ever met people, just men, hopefully, that have an eye for women? Any of y'all in here have a problem for that? Yeah, I like good-looking women. I do. I like. What, the rest of you men like ugly women? I mean, what's up? Y'all not notice, women, we got a bigger problem in this church than I thought. But hold on, the Bible tells me to keep that in what?
In check.
It says, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Heirs, I've given you a wife. Don't be wandering. Yes, sir. All right. Now, guess what happened to King David? He was a man after God's what? King David sinned. And he tried to hide it. Now, note this. He never knew God's mercy till he confessed it. Now, let me tell you a deep problem we have in American culture. I got some therapists here. They'll tell you it's true. We spend more time denying what we've done instead of owning up that we have sinned. What do you think? Young people, I'm going to tell you the truth. Quit blaming it on your parents. They're messed up. But so were their parents. And so were the parents before them. This is not... I get so tired of every young person going, well, the reason I'm doing drugs is because of my family environment. All that is a bunch of bunk. The reason you're doing drugs is because somebody handed you a drug and you made a conscious human choice to put that up to your lips and use it. And here's the way you cease from doing drugs. These are harmful. These are deadly. These are not a blessing. And I'm going to make a conscious decision to not put that into my life, no matter what anybody else says. That still works.
Amen.
That still works. So young people, man, I want to see some of y'all stand up and get a little grit and say, I'm not going to do it. And even if you mess up, I'm not going to do it again. Make sense? I'm going to ask the mercy of God and I'm not going to do it. Make sense? Now here's what happened to King David. King David had an adulterous relationship with Bathsheba. Y'all realize that? King David finally confessed. But King David acted a lot like Bill Clinton at first. Now we didn't have much mercy on Bill Clinton, did we? Well, watch, before we start picking on everybody that falls, let me ask you a question. On Bill Clinton, I heard everybody in the church bashing Bill Clinton. Oh, Bill Clinton, I can't believe he did that. Why can't you believe he did that? He's flirted with everybody he ever saw. How many of y'all noticed that? If you were a lady, I guarantee you'd have picked up on Bill Clinton being a player right off the bat. He's 6'4", good-looking guy. He's a big old tall guy. Bill's tall. He comes into a room, he's kind of looking around. You notice a man that's a player, they always shake hands with all the good-looking women. How you doing, ma'am? How you doing, ma'am? How you doing, ma'am? And they're all like, President, President, President. Bill's looking. Now, if y'all caught on that, how many of y'all follow Jesus Christ? Said, Lord, let me tell you what, I believe Willie likes the ladies. And Lord, I pray that you help him by the grace of mercy, because Willie said he's a follower of yours, and I want to pray as my president that he stay in line. How many of us offered those prayers? Oh, I guess we were too busy praying against stuff to ever pray for something. You know, Jesus spent a lot more time praying for things to happen than against things to happen. I find that religious people pray against, and Jesus' followers pray for. I pray for our leaders. I pray that Pastor Haggard, who's made great contributions, get restored by the mercy of God. Is what he did wrong? Absolutely, if he did it. But I don't know if he did it. But I want him to be restored. Here's another thing. Don't jump to conclusions till you know the facts. Now, guess what David did? He did it. And he got honest with God. And what did God do? He had mercy on him. And guess what? He was still the king after he sinned, but he was not the king he could have been.
Amen.
That's the price of sin. Sin will steal from your life. Now let me give you the attitude of Jesus here. Remember I told you three things. God forgives what? Sin.
Jesus wants to restore us and put us back together again. And number three is this. Jesus does what he says he believes. Jesus' attitude is his action, not a concept. Go with me to John chapter 8. Here's the situation. There is a woman caught in adultery. Y'all remember this biblical story? John chapter 8, verses 1 and following, 1 through 10. There is a woman caught in the very act of adultery. The scripture is clear to say, caught in the act of adultery. Now this is bothersome to me. We have a bunch of religious Pharisees playing peeping Tom. Because how do you catch somebody in the act of adultery? Unless you're looking for it. So you see, these guys are trumped up. They're wanting to punish a human being. What did I tell you God wants to do? He wants to restore human beings. How many of y'all look for what's wrong in somebody? Or do you begin to relate to them with the potential they might have? Oh, church, Hillview, let me tell you what. Y'all want to take it to the next level in here? Every one of us start looking at the potential. Wow. You know what I love about pastoring this church is all the young people that are here. I mean, I love it. You know, Bob, who knows what your beautiful daughter's going to do? Who knows? Huh? You know, she might invent new knees that actually work and we get a new set when we're about 80. I don't know what she's going to do. I mean, does this not, you know? Skyndries, what are your two girls going to do? You have no idea. Isn't that the exciting thing? I watch my daughter, Clacy. I look at her and I watch her. And right now, I'm praying. He's all right. He's fine. He's cool. He's going to come see me. That's cool. I'm glad to pastor a church where the kids want to see the pastor. Instead of go like this. Oh my gosh, this is the most boring place in the world. I'd rather for them to go, man, I'm free to walk around. This is the kingdom of God. You ready? Look at here. Clacy, I already pray for her husband. I don't know who the dude is going to be, but I am already feeling sorry for the dude in the future. And on the day of her wedding, I'm going to smile. And when I turn away and walk away, I'm going to look at that brother and go, sucker, sucker, sucker. Because I'm going to tell you, Clacy can argue like her daddy. Clacy and I have it out. I love it. She's got great logical lines. And sometimes I freak her out. I go, okay, you win. She does not know how to handle that. Because she's like her daddy. She wants to spar. I don't know what she's going to do. Incredible thing about raising kids, I don't know what any of them are going to do. I don't know what you and I are going to be in the future. So we need to know the mercy of God. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown what? Mercy. Let me tell you what happened to this woman. She gets caught in the act of adultery. Here comes all the religious people. They say, stone her! How many of y'all have heard people like that? Kill the guilty! How many of y'all found this? Those that yell the loudest about certain sins are usually involved in them. I remember Brother Swaggart, occasionally I'd slide over the TV screen, and guess what? Swaggart could be preaching anywhere in the Bible, and it would end up on the subject of pornography. You know, Genesis 1 doesn't mention pornography. You see, you're not going to preach sin away. Here's another one. I'm going to let you know this, and I know some of you are going to be offended by this, and you have the right to disagree. You will never legislate sin out of the human culture. You can pass any law you want. It will not take care of sin. And you hadn't read your Bible if you believe that. The Ten Commandments are law legislated by God, and they did not keep us from sinning. Case closed. And so God said, instead of law, I'm going to give you what? Mercy. That restores us. And look what happens. This woman gets caught in adultery. They want to stone her. Jesus bends down. He writes something on the ground. I don't know what he wrote on the ground. I got a hunch. It was the names of the Pharisees' girlfriends. I just have a hunch that maybe what he had written on the ground. I don't know. What do you think? Something backed those brothers off real quick. You know what I'm talking about? They're all high and mighty. Jesus starts writing on the ground. And it was the older ones that left first. I mean, couldn't you imagine? Katie, year 3, you were 20. Oh, yeah, Lord, I forgot about that one. How many of y'all forget about things sometimes? I notice when you grow older, you forget what you used to do. I mean, I remember I'm sitting there one day, and I was in front of the church on a Wednesday night, and I heard one of our kids come through, and they had one of these stereo systems that had 100,000 watts in the back of it, and they were shaking their back window out, shaking me, shaking the office, right, and I was incensed. You know what I forgot about? I was that kid 30 years ago. So I went outside and I said, "Hey, bro." He said, "What, man?" I said, can you turn that down just a little bit? Because like, we can't hear anybody in the church. You know, just turn it down a little bit." Well, what was he really wanting people to know? Why do you thump and bump and vibrate? Come on. Not only to be heard. Because if you can be heard, then you can be what? He was really telling me what he needed, wasn't he? I need to be seen, bro. I'm like, man, guess what my first words were? I caught myself. Guess what my first words were? My first words were going to be, turn. Hear that attitude? Is that attitude of mercy? So I flipped my words and I said, you know what? That is a great sound system. Tell me about it. Well, I got a little smart. He had to turn it down to tell me about it. So did we achieve what we needed to achieve? Here's what God says. Be merciful because you're going to end up where I want you to be. Does that make sense? In the mercy of God, I end up in the grace of God and end up with the attitude of God. Let me tell you what happens. These men start walking away, and Jesus asked this woman in John chapter 8 this important question. She goes, "Where are they that condemn you?" She said, "They've gone. No one condemns me." Jesus said, look at this. He said, "Neither do I. I don't condemn you either. Look, has no one condemned you?" She said, "No." And he said, "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of what? Sin." Isn't that the whole ballgame? Church, I'm so proud of every one of you, and I'm so thankful for all of you that have started coming to Hillview or to be a part of this ministry. But I want you to really get it. We're invested that people's sins get forgiven, man. I'm all into that. I believe in that with everything about me. Guys, listen, today, don't leave home. Don't leave this house. Don't leave this moment without knowing Jesus in your life. Yeah? How many of you other believers could declare, my life with Jesus is better than a life without Him? Yeah. Absolutely. And here's His mercy. We're guilty. That's the facts. We're guilty. Number two, God wants to restore us and put us back together again. Some say, "Pastor Steve, you don't understand. I've had a divorce." Or, "Pastor Steve, I got an addiction problem." You know, we all got a problem. I'm just going to really be honest with you. We all got a problem. I know you think yours is worse than anybody else because it's your personal problem. But Jesus can love all of us through all problems. I believe that. That's real. And then the third thing I like is Jesus actually did what He said. Well, here's what we tend to do. We say we're going to be forgiving. And then when we get put to the test, we become very judgmental. Make sense? All right. Anybody learn anything today? We ready to take on the world? How many of y'all ready to take on the world? Drink, about three of you, that's okay. You know, Jesus did it with 12 and one of them failed, so He really only had 11 on board. And He got the gospel to the 21st century with 11 imperfect men that believed He was crucified and resurrected. I wonder what Jesus could do with a church in Bowling Green, Kentucky that began to be merciful and show mercy. What do you think? So listen, my friend, if you've messed up, I got good news today. Jesus said He died to forgive you of your what? Sins. And He rose again so that you can go and do what? Sin no more. You don't have to live in sin. And even if you're following Jesus and mess up, what do you need to do? What do you think? Yeah. This would be, "God, I'm sorry. I'm not living up to what You've done in me. And so I ask Your forgiveness." What do you think God's going to do? Here's some things I hope you get rid of. They're killers. Guilt, shame, and condemnation. Stay out of there. Those are poisonous drinks. Somebody said, "Well, Pastor Ayers, you don't understand. I got a divorce." Well, guess what? Be restored in the name of Jesus. Be free again in the name of Jesus. "I'm sorry that happened. I really am, and I know it hurts, but guess what? Let's be put back together again.
Some of you say, well, Pastor Ayers, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know how people have treated me. Ah, grow up. I'm tired of hearing all this punk stuff in our society of why people can't be what they want to be. Now, you can say that if you're not going to follow Jesus. You've got to live up to all that rap. How many of y'all have been perfect and been crucified? How many of y'all have been perfect and been crucified? That puts Hebrews 12 in perspective, doesn't it? Jesus said, you'll have something to gripe about when you're perfect and have been crucified. Here's where I live. I was guilty of sin, deserving of hell. And God had mercy on me and said, Steve Ayers, I died for a sinner and a disobedient rugrat like you. And now I'm going to take you from where you were, and I'm going to bring you into me, and I'm going to redesign you and reconfigure you and restore you and recondition you to live in heaven. Still blows my mind. That's mercy. Amen. Well, let's stand together. Y'all been great today. You've been wonderful. Give yourselves a hand for listening well today. Amen. Wow, what a day, what a day. Now, here's some exciting news. Somebody's going to get saved today. Y'all okay with that? Say all right. That ought to pump us up. Somebody gets to go to heaven from Bowling Green, Kentucky today. You ready? I am crazy. I believe this. Today, here's what I believe, because the Bible says it's true and because Jesus will do it. How many of y'all today will say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sin. I believe you died on a cross. You've risen from a grave. Come into me. Now, some of y'all need to be baptized. You need to get it right. You're following Jesus, but you're not following him in obedience because you hadn't been what? Baptized. He asked you to do that. It's time to square up and get that taken care of. But today, we dealt with some pretty tough stuff. How many of y'all would come today? You really want to get released? How many of y'all come down to the altar today and say, God, watch this. How many of y'all could get this honest? God, I'm arrogant. And help me get over some of my arrogance. Wow, what would you become? God, I'm sorry for the things I was supposed to do that I hadn't done. Forgive me, and now I'm going to do them. Wow, wonder what would happen then. So let's just let God have a moment with us, okay? Let's pray together. Lord, you are always sweet. You're always wonderful. You're always tremendous. You're always our God. And so, Lord Jesus, I just ask right now, if anybody here needs to come to know Jesus today, and that's everybody that doesn't have a relationship with him, right now, listen to me. Listen to me, church. Listen, if you're that person that needs to ask Christ in your life, why not ask him right now? Listen, just ask him. Just ask him. It's as simple as this. Lord, I'm guilty. I know I haven't done what you asked me to do. And Lord, I ask for your mercy that I've heard about this morning. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Somebody's praying that right now. Lord Jesus, come into my life. I believe you died for me and you will live in me. I believe you're a risen God. Come into my what? Say it with me, church. Come into my what? Life. And if you're doing that, you come and talk to Pastor Mark and I at this altar. Maybe you need to come today and just say, hey, I need to get over my arrogance. I need to love my wife more. I need to let my children know and be merciful to them. I need to let the world know I'm not perfect, but I am forgiven and that made a difference. Yeah? Balcony, isn't it great? Y'all can walk right down these steps now and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you hadn't done that yet, you check it out. God's here in this place. But he wants in our lives in this place. Hear me clearly. You will never go to heaven by attending church. You must allow Christ to come into your life. It works. Doesn't it, Claypool? Seems like yesterday, brother, I saw you walk down that aisle to chapel. You didn't have gray hair and I didn't have any then. And you know what I found? That move's still holding up our lives in spite of us being honoring. Wow. Some people think I'm a hard man. But I'm going to tell you the truth. I'll never back off telling y'all there's a literal hell and Jesus doesn't want you to go there. And I'm not going to waste my short days here on earth entertaining some congregation with some psychology that makes them feel better for the moment. Is a real reality. It's a real Jesus. And if he's not real, I say let's go play golf and go to the lake and just have fun until it's all over. Man, I say let's have a life because it's all just begun in Jesus. Amen.
It's real. Isn't it, Pat? I remember baptizing you, big boy. Is it holding up? Changed everything? Yeah. I want people to, you know, sometimes people think I just talk a bunch of stuff and this stuff don't work. But when they say a big old boy from Pittsburgh gets saved, something happened. Amen? That's called a testimony. It's called a testimony. Well, Lord, right now, just take this altar, take this time, bring us forward. Lord, I pray in this service we don't hold back today. We say, you know what, God, I'm just going to go up there and pray. Come and pray for our police officer that we lost. He's got a wife and two kids because he protected you and I. He's got a wife and two kids. He lost his life as he was protecting you and I. Come pray for our law enforcement. Let's just come pray. I'm just going to ask you not to stand. So, Lord, this altar's open. You come and pray. People have already started. You come and pray. You don't have to wait for them to sing. Come on, if the Spirit's telling you to come give thanks or come give your life to Jesus, just let it happen. Just let it happen. Come on, people praying. People praying. Pray for one another.